Before we get going, we'd like to say a goodbye to a dear friend.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Definitely. If you guys haven't heard the news already, somebody who we interviewed on our show has passed away, and we just really wanted to pay our respects to Stanton Freeman, who was an amazing man to know, and, you know, saw him at a couple of the conventions that we were at, and really just did tremendous amount of work in the paranormal community and the UFO.
Writer of over 15 books. But yeah, just wanted to say rest in peace to our friend Stanton Freeman, who we were looking forward to seeing this year up at Michigan Paracon.
Yeah, but definitely.
He'll be up there in spirit.
Yeah, and you know what? I hope he gets all the answers to all the questions on the other side.
I'm sure he will now.
I hope so. We just you know, send out our deepest
condolences.
Condolences to his friends and his families and his colleagues out there. So, you know, just know that he will be sadly missed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. So let's get on with the show here. And as you know, you're listening to the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your hosts, Jen and Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Newman.
Yeah, it is sad news, but, you know, he's not gone. He's just not here.
That's right.
That's right.
His energy has moved into a different plane.
That's right.
And I hope he is flying high up there.
Yep.
With the aliens. Woo, go Stanton. Anyways.
You know, we had a great time at the Midwest Parafest
over the weekend. It was great.
Yeah.
It was an amazing show. I really, really enjoyed it.
It's always a good show. I mean, granted, it's just the second year, but I tell you what, Heather and Chad always do an amazing job. They put on a great show every year.
I don't know where they get their energy from.
I don't either.
I wish I had some of that. But no, it was an incredible event.
Yeah.
A really cool location. And I had something touch my hand up in the attic. I kind of snuck up into the attic with Alex from Glass Paranormal. We went up while somebody was speaking, and we went up in the attic to see.
Wait, why not, you know?
And he was picking up on something, and I went into this little, like, I don't know if it was a closet or cubbyhole or something like that. I felt like this jolt go through my hand. It was weird.
Are you talking about it's like on the right-hand side, and then there's like a hallway that leads down the other way, and it's almost like a little room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
last time I was there, I got something in that room,
too. Yeah, that's cool. But no, loved the show. Thought it was fun. We had a really nice setup where we were at, and enjoyed it. Glad everybody.
It was, yeah, that we were in like a dining hall, and there was only a few vendors in that room, and it was nice because they had several different rooms where the vendors were, and
and
a lot of the vendors were down in the bar.
Man,
and they wouldn't put us by the bar because they knew that Jen would.
I did partake in a glass after the show.
You know,
I needed it.
Yeah.
Just definitely needed that. But, you know, it was great. You know, I hope everybody else, you know, if they do this one again next year, that everybody comes out, because it was so fun to see our friends again. Let's see. Let's run down the list real quick.
No.
Nadine and John, Rebecca and Dan.
Rebecca, haven't seen her in a long time.
Christy was next to her. Then there was Mist, and I don't know her boyfriend's name. But I saw her kissing him. If that was her boyfriend, maybe it was her dad. I don't know.
Mally Fox.
Mally Fox was there, the paranormal girl, and I got a couple t-shirts. I'm excited about that. Togues were there.
Yeah.
And April and her sister, who had the really cool Bigfoot drawings and things like that. And Brian, who does the
jewelry stuff.
Yeah. And Brian, who does the energy paintings.
Oh, yeah.
Danhausen.
Yeah. That's the thing. They were busy downstairs in the bar all day, and we were busy upstairs, so we really couldn't see them.
I know. And Jason from Lake Erie Paranormal And the Chris and Wayne Show.
Oh my God, those guys are great.
I know, they're so fun. And everybody else.
Yeah, there was so many people there.
Mark from BRFO. He is the Mark DeWorth. He's a Bigfoot researcher. Yeah. And his wife were there, and they're just lovely people.
Yeah.
And who else was there, Joe? Jeff Mudgett was there.
Mudgett. He'll be on the show next week.
Jeff Belanger. Belanger? I don't know. I'm sorry, Jeff, I say your name wrong. I know you're listening to this podcast. I'm sure you are. Who else was there? There were so many people that came. Joe and I
don't remember. I can't remember yesterday, let alone.
Anyways, but we had a great time. And it was amazing.
Some great visitors.
And everybody from Erie Shores Paranormal was just amazing and very accommodating to us.
Great volunteers.
Yes. It was good to see everybody.
One thing about this show, something always happens. Something always happens at the shows.
Always.
And we always say, you guys got to come to the show. You miss out. It was at the Yacht Club on the water. And when I say on the water, I mean on the water.
Literally.
About, I'd say an hour into the show, they announced to all the vendors and all the people visiting that everybody has to move their cars because the parking lot is flooding because the lake is moving in.
Oh my gosh. It's lake life, right? And seeing that bald eagle fly over, that was really cool.
Yeah.
That was like a really nice sign that it was going to be a good day.
Yeah.
And Katrina Weidman from Port Us to Hell, yeah, the new Travel Channel show. I did not get to meet her.
Neither have I.
I kept looking at her, and she probably thought I was a stalker, which I am. But I really wanted to meet her. She was so busy, though.
Everybody were in the basement. Yeah. You know, we were upstairs. Yeah. Or I shouldn't say basement, because it's
kind of like the first floor, it's
the first floor, but yeah, because when you walk in, you got to go up the steps. And
But anyways.
The ground level.
Yes.
They were on the ground level. We were on the upper level.
Oh, Adam and Deb.
Yeah.
And RJ.
RJ was there.
Sans Deb. His wife Deb was in there, but we missed her.
Yeah.
And also our guest for today is somebody we've had on the show before, and he's got some new information for us. It's Don Ellison.
Yeah, he was at the show. We got him wrangled up. I think you put a rope around him or something and drug him over to our table.
I know, it's so hard to get people to come on and talk about their shows. No, but Don is an author and a historian, a researcher, and a journalist. He's also a public speaker. He talks about, you know, his books. He's had several books written. He has a new book out as well, which we'll talk about on the show. But he's wrote a book that we talked about last year, was Hell on Belle Isle, which is a diary of a Civil War POW, and very fascinating story. And then his big book, I Met a Ghost at Gettysburg.
Yeah.
And he goes to Gettysburg a lot, but he has a new book out, which he's going to tell us about in a little bit here.
Mm-hmm. In the interview, he talks about it.
Yeah, so.
So, you know, he goes to Gettysburg a lot, and it's one of our favorite places to go. And I was up online looking for different things about Gettysburg, and I came across PennLive.com, and they have the list of the 8 most haunted places in Gettysburg. But, you know, to be honest with you, I think the number one most haunted location is the battlefield itself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how can it not be?
Right. I mean, the blood of the soldiers is in that ground.
50,000 men.
Oh, my gosh. And horses. Don't forget the horses.
Yeah, that's just it. You know, 50,000 men, but probably the same amount of horses. And I think Don even mentions that in the interview.
I asked him about it.
So let me go over a few of the haunted places.
Yeah, if you're traveling this summer.
Yes.
Get there.
Yes, get there. Try not to go during the tourist season, but I think it all is tourist season.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so you got this Saxe-covered bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is the most haunted spot in Gettysburg.
We need drinks, Joe. Blooper reel. Yeah. Take two.
That's supposedly the most haunted place in Gettysburg, and I don't know. Like I said,
We have to go and see for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I know people talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
So we'll check it out.
The other one is The Grove, which is located behind the Warrior Stadium at the Gettysburg Area Middle School.
Okay.
It's supposedly a favorite for ghost hunters. It doesn't say why it is haunted or what there is, but it's probably haunted by soldiers.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Yeah.
on the battlefield itself, you have Devil's Den.
Mm-hmm.
Another place that they say is haunted is the Servants Old Time Photos, which is a store. Mm. You know, like a place.
I've never had an old time photo.
Really?
I have some old school photos.
Yeah, with the big hair.
No, with just bad haircuts.
Yeah. I'm probably going to say this wrong. The Teeley Pierce House?
I think that's right.
Okay. The Teeley Pierce House Inn, it's said to be haunted by a ghost cat as well as multiple children.
Wow, boo.
Cats and children.
Oh, all right. Hey, yeah. You know, recipe for haunting there.
The Hoffman Mansion, that's supposed to be, you know.
I've never heard of that one. I'm going to have to look that up.
It's supposedly a large mansion, mm-hmm. abandoned for decades, and it has more spirits than rooms.
Womp, womp.
Wow,
womp.
This is really cheesy. And it says here.
That's our life.
$30 to $35 a night for per person.
That's not bad,
as
though.
As you can see, I'm reading this here.
But that's not bad if you're going out for a ghost hunt in Gettysburg. Where else?
Well, okay, now here's the two that we've been to, the Jenny Wade House mm-hmm. and the Children's Orphanage. Now, these two are supposed to be very haunted. And when I was there, I really didn't feel nothing.
Well, in the Jenny Wade House, not when you were there, when Peg and I were there, I had an experience there. A chain moved in the kitchen, but it wasn't moving like you brushed into it and side to side. It was moving up and down.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which was freaky.
But I do know in the orphanage when we did our
there were
tour,
so many people in there, though.
But we went up in the attic.
Yeah.
And that door moved on command, which I still think he had wire hooked up to it. We got to go back so it happens again.
But there was a lot of artifacts up there, which was interesting, mm-hmm. so... Bullets, you know, spent bullets and guns and some Native American things. But anyways, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to go back.
Yeah.
And I
think we'll try to make a trip there at the end of summer.
Yeah, let's do it.
When it's not so hot.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, guys, here's our interview with Don Allison. I really hope you enjoy it. He's just a fascinating speaker and, you know, check out his books, and he'll give you at the end, and we'll come back after and wrap it up for you.
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
All right. We'll be back.
And with us today, we have the incredible writer, Don Allison. Welcome to the show again.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
We love when we have returning guests.
I believe it's been about a year since we've had you on.
I think you're right. It was Midwest Parafest last year.
Yes, which is incredible. And we are here in Toledo, Ohio. It's flooding a little bit. Did you have to move your car?
I did indeed. I beat the water.
Well, that's good because we didn't want you to get washed away because we would have to drive you back.
I'd be happy to drive him back.
Yes.
We want to get back down to Gettysburg. Almost forgot what my mind is like blank. Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about getting back down to Gettysburg, so if you're in town when we show up, we'll have to let you know. And
yeah, by all means, let me know your schedule. I go there several times a year now.
So. That's great. That's great. So last year we talked to you about the book Hell on Belle Isle.
Yes.
And this year you have a new book out, which is incredible. Tell our listeners the title and a little bit about it.
Well, the title is I Met More Ghosts at Gettysburg. Yes. And it's A Journalist's Paranormal Journey Continues. It's a follow-up to my I Met a Ghost at Gettysburg book.
Which I have and I read and I thought was incredible. I really like the way that you bring the story of the ghost and just tell these are real people. You know, it's not a character. These are real people that lived and situations where you've experienced things. So in your second book, tell us a little bit about, you know, what's included in your second book?
Well, it's really a continuation. After the first book, I thought, okay, I've done something on the paranormal. I'll move on. I wasn't looking to continue, but mm-hmm. that book really surprised me, the acceptance it got and the doors it opened, and mm-hmm. I've really been able to do a lot more investigating, experience some mm-hmm. new things, meet some incredible people. And that has totally changed my outlook. And now, not only have I done a second book, I plan to do more.
That's exciting. But there's so many stories that come out of Gettysburg. I mean, it never ends, right?
It's amazing. And even since I finished writing this last book, I've had some experiences there that, one, is kind of heart-rending, using dowsing rods mm-hmm. at Sachs Bridge, and this will only work if I'm there myself or maybe with someone close to me. If mm-hmm. there's anybody else anywhere near, it will not work. I communicate with a 48th Alabama soldier. Was able to learn his regiment, his company, and so forth just through trial, you know, keep asking questions till I get a yes. And he was married. He had 3 children. He misses Alabama. But the thing that really, and every time I talk about this, I can just feel it inside. I ask him, are you glad for the chance to talk with us, to communicate with us? And the dowsing rods actually crossed and smacked me in the chest.
Oh,
like, it still sends chills down my spine.
Like he was putting an exclamation point on his answer.
And it makes me feel for him.
Yeah.
And I wish I could get a name, but I've tried using a spirit box to, I cannot get anything I can understand.
Makes you almost wonder if, like, they do they understand the spirit box, because it's a piece of technology that they've never seen. But the dowsing rods, we know they've been around for 8,000 years, so that's possible that he knows.
That is possible, and I've tried to explain that you can talk to me through, but it just, there's other entities that I've dealt with, the spirit box works great, but other times not.
It's just heart-wrenching, every time you think about Gettysburg, you know, these were very young men with their whole lives ahead of them, you know, cut down too short and in the throes of war. Have you ever experienced any female spirits come through at Gettysburg for you? Or was it just males?
I have, on one occasion with the Ghost Box, and it's in my first book, the experience that I had at Saxbridge, where we made connection with an Ohio captain. And there were other entities there at one time. Voice said, we asked how many were there. We got a 7, 8, 9. But at the very end, after talking, Malin Briggs was the soldier's name. He gave us his name. He checked out. He was a real person who probably died there. But when the investigator with us asked, were you hurt? We got 2 things. We got an incredibly, again, this sends chills down my spine, a blood-curdling male scream, just of anguish, and then a woman crying after that. That's the only instance of a female entity at Gettysburg.
Kind of makes you wonder if they either loved ones or relatives, and the emotion of them getting killed there. I've heard of several times where people don't even know that their loved ones were killed, but they sense that they were killed, and then to find out later they were. It almost makes you wonder if that energy is so strong that their spirit went to Gettysburg and witnessed that.
And I've seen accounts like what you're saying. In my first book, I talk about an account where he was a young man at the time. He was at Auschwitz, and he had a very vivid dream. Actually, his father, who he was with, had a very vivid dream that the young man's mother, the man's wife, had died, down to very explicit details what was going on. Her daughter was with her, and it was only after the war. This was Christmas Eve, 1944. It was only after the war that they were able to be reunited, those of the family who survived, and the death occurred on that day exactly as he described it.
That's incredible. You know, I think, you know, people are bonded, whether you're soulmates or twin flames or you know, when you have been with somebody for so long, you have that spirit connection that, you know, it's like when you know somebody's going to call you on the phone before the phone rings. You know?
It's uncanny.
It is.
Well, I had an encounter at Gettysburg about a year ago now that this happened, but I was on the field and actually was getting a tour with an experienced guide as part of a group I was there with. One of the group members was a medium. I didn't even remember her name. I had just been introduced the evening before, and she's watching me talk to the guide. I was at the Rosewoods, actually. I didn't know a lot about. I'd heard about the Rosewoods, so I was trying to figure things out. After I talked to the guide, the young lady was watching me, and she said, excuse me, can I tell you something? I said, well, sure. She said, you have somebody with you. She said, at first I thought it was a dead tourist, but he said, no, no, I'm with him. And then he proceeded to be making friendly insults, like useless information. But the weird thing was she described him, and I immediately knew she was talking about a recently deceased friend of mine. And two things that really struck me. One is the guide had a Tigers hat, Detroit Tigers. And my friend and I are both diehard Tigers fans. And he, at the end of his life, he had macular degeneration and was unable to get around. So I would keep him up to date with the Tigers, even take him to baseball games. Mm-hmm. But then I got to thinking, why would my friend Jack be at Gettysburg? And it dawned on me, he was a World War II B-17 bombardier. Plane he was on was called the Mason-Dixon. Four of his crew members were from Gettysburg, including the co-pilot, who was a good friend of his, and they died fairly closely together. Just, again, that there's no way that Tiffany, the medium, could have had a clue about any of this. And I do talk about that experience in my latest book.
That's incredible. I think, you know, for anybody who hasn't been to Gettysburg, just being there, I think, will spark some kind of paranormal activity, whether it's what's there already or what could be around you. It's incredible. What surprised you about what's in your new book? Did you have any, like, aha-type moments?
I really did, and I had a series of events. I talk about the start of that story in the first book with my wife and with my grandson. Things, cameras malfunction, just strange things happen around the Alabama Monument and on Little Round Top, especially.
Oh.
they say
that. Did you
that,
feel that? I'm like, I literally, something just pushed my chair.
Sorry,
go ahead.
That's okay there. I was talking to folks earlier who have investigated here, and they've had activity in this room, they said. I don't know just what activity, but maybe we have more.
Yeah.
But no, on Little Round Top, especially with my grandson, he took some photographs that were unbelievable. One time I was there with my wife, and I could not take a picture of any Union monument on Little Round Top. I could take any other photo. These things are working on me, and I knew I had Alabama ancestors in the war, but they were Western Theater soldiers. But these instances led me to start doing some research, and it turned out I had a number of family members who fought at Little Round Top in the Alabama Brigade, including, and the strongest things I had happen were right where the 20th Maine fought the 15th Alabama. And as it turned out, my great-great-grandfather was in the 15th Alabama at Gettysburg. He was captured there, escaped later from a POW camp at Point Lookout, Maryland, and made his way back to his regiment.
Oh.
Had I not had the experiences I had, I probably would never have researched and found that out.
Yeah.
It's like the universe puts this all together for you. You know, like, that's incredible.
Well, it could have been his spirit also nudging him in the right direction.
And to be honest with you, after I found out he was there, I had the occasion to be alone right at the Vincent Spur where the 20th Maine and 15th fought. It was drizzling rain. My wife stayed in the van. She didn't want to get wet, and she's been up there many times. And I started to go up the direct steps to the main monument, and something led me to go around the back and up. And I could just literally feel the energy. And if I got off track, it wasn't right. I could feel it. Led me to the very crest of Little Round Top. And I'm thinking, this can't be right, because the accounts that I knew, the Alabama regiment did not make it to the crest. And also, the way I came up around behind was behind the 20th Main Line. It made no sense. In my mind's eye, I could see, this has happened a few times in my life, this time I could see just smoke and confusion and like an arm or a leg or some movement. After a while, the energy faded, and I had a book actually with me on the trip, and I start looking up. It turns out the company that my ancestor was in did swing around the back, came up just the way that I had experienced it, and accounts from both North and South say yes, those regiments, those companies rather, actually occupied the crest for about 10 minutes before they were pushed back.
Oh.
That's incredible. It's almost like your ancestors are guiding you to that, to have that experience and to be there. Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
And it is just, for me, being a total skeptic until fairly, you know, recently, this has been a revelation. That's just a whole new world opening to me.
You know, we talk about, you know, the how many spirits are at Gettysburg, and, you know, we mentioned it on the show before about how when we were there, this girl Kendra told us that, you know, people ask her where all the ghosts are, and she's seen them in the supermarkets and that. Mm-hmm. But what makes me wonder is when you get that much energy, I've heard stories of people hearing cannon fire on the battlefield and all that. It's almost like in a parallel universe or something. I don't know how to say it, but it's almost like the war is still going on.
It's unreal. I have experienced that. The first time I heard the phantom cannon fire, I was there with my grandson, and we were actually in our hotel room. It was about 2 a.m, and it woke us both up. I do living history. My grandson's done it with me. We've heard the cannons fire. And my grandson's, Grandpa, that was a cannon. Sure sounded like it. The other two times, oddly, it happened, I'm near the Slider House. It's an out-of-the-way place. You have to walk to it. But it was a field hospital for the Alabama Brigade after the Little Round Top fight. And the first time I'm walking back, that happened. It's like, wow. And I did some inquiry and checking, and there were no reenactors anywhere near that anyone knew about, but the direction wasn't the direction that would have been a good explanation anyway. So the next time I go to the Slider House, I had two things happen. One, I saw my first ever full-bodied apparition.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
And I thought it was actually a man on a horseback. And at first I thought it was just one of the horse tours they have there. And then I realized, well, he's alone. I started looking closely, and he was a Union cavalryman. He had on the shell jacket uniform, a slouch, you know, broad-brimmed hat. And he either looked to be exhausted or perhaps injured. He was slouched down, going very slowly, but you could see the horse clearly as could be, the saddle. It's a beautiful brown horse, and I'm staring at this in wonderment, and then it just vanished.
Oh.
Went from as solid as you and me to nothing. And I had a camera around my neck, and I was so transfixed that never even occurred to me to take a picture. Unfortunately, I was alone. Nobody else was with me. But then on the return, then I walked down to the farm on the way back. Then I heard the cannon and musketry fire once again. This time I knew there'd been an artillery group of reenactors on the field nearby. So I hightailed it immediately to see if they were still there. They were long gone.
Oh.
So again, no, but where I saw the cavalryman is also where Farnsworth Charge took place. So the Union regiment was led into a pretty horrible, almost a massacre.
Oh. Wow, that's crazy. What an incredible experience. I mean, to go from like your whole career being a journalist, and now you're in this whole realm of seeing apparitions and writing about them. When you go out and you are in Gettysburg, and you're going around to the different locations and things, are you documenting or journaling at that time, or is it all up here? And
I write down immediately what happens.
Okay.
And like for my latest book, those things, and when I'm with other people, I try to do that immediately and try to get their feedback. Did you remember it this way? What do you add their details? If there's something we don't agree on, I throw it out. Mm-hmm. And
has there been an occasion where you've heard cannon fire or gunfire and the people around you don't hear it, or vice versa?
I was alone 2 of the times, but when I was with my grandson, he did hear
it. Okay, yeah.
So the other 2 times I was by myself.
What I'm thinking is, you know, we know how sound works, but in order to hear the phantom fire, it's almost like it'd have to be in your mind, not in your ears.
I have talked... Yeah, I think I've written about that theory. I've read about it, that when you see an apparition, maybe you don't really see it. It's actually the energy's acting on the optic nerve or the part of your brain that perceives sight. And that's the same with auditory.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking. I've been in situations where, like, we were in a theater here in Toledo, and I could hear people talking, but nobody else could hear them. You know, it's like, and I think it was John Tenney that we were talking to. He mentioned that about how, well, it's not so much the sound, it's the more the energy in your mind. Mm-hmm.
I will say we often hear footsteps and different things in our house. And any time that that's happened, if someone's been with me, they also have heard.
Okay. That's incredible. It's interesting. The land that we're on right now, there was a battle that took place here over this land. So I would be interested if we feel or sense anything today, any soldiers or Native American, or there's also, you know, a lot of shipwrecks towards this area, yeah, too. So, you know, this building
at the mouth of the Maumee, yeah,
is incredible. Having people who have had experiences, now you're open to this, you've seen it, it may come to you again today. You may be having some experience here in the Toledo Yacht Club, which would be incredible.
It would be.
Yeah.
Just last fall, I was at a similar event at the Old Capitol Theater in Chambersburg. Mm-hmm. And during, it was kind of like now a lull while the mm-hmm. speakers are going on, and yeah, it was after I had given my talk. Somebody told us it was an active area that our tables were at. So we actually, for about a half hour, were getting incredible responses on, wow, REM pod, mm-hmm, and got EVPs right there during the conference.
That's incredible. It's great because, you know, you can sit at your booth all day, but to have, you know, a little bit of experience just puts like the frosting on the cupcake, yeah, right?
Didn't even have to leave the table. No, but, yeah, you know, myself and the people next to me. And we ended up getting a fair crowd around us, just, you know, wow, you know, that taking it in.
That's great. Now, how many times a year do you get to Gettysburg?
Probably about half a dozen.
Okay. That's great. Now, have you gone to any other battle sites?
I have gone to quite a few Civil War sites, okay, through the years. Mm-hmm. You know, Fredericksburg, Antietam. Mm-hmm. I've been to Antietam several times. A lot of the Western Theater. Franklin, Tennessee is a fascinating, yeah, battlefield. A lot of the Atlantic Campaign battlefields. Mm-hmm. Shiloh, yeah, I've been to quite a few.
Have you had experiences there, or is like Gettysburg like the pinnacle of?
Most of the times that I've been to them was before I was into the paranormal, for lack of a better term. Yeah. But I did have a very strong experience at Jonesboro, Georgia. And that is not a battlefield park.
Okay.
Actually, where the battle took place is in a residential area, and the Confederate trenches, there's actually an elementary school, and the remnants of the Confederate trenches almost serve as a little berm for parking. People park up against them.
Oh, wow.
But a regiment from my area actually had a family member in that regiment. I was there with my co-author on a book of this unit we're working on, that he also had an ancestor, and I climbed down to a spot where the 38th Ohio Regiment, the one I'm referring to, was pinned down for a time. They lost their colonel, was shot, mortally wounded there. Most of their flag color guards were killed or mortally wounded there. And I could see the battle in my mind. I was just frozen, just seeing it clearly as could be. And I was, my friend thought something was wrong with me, mm-hmm, and at the time I was a little embarrassed. There was a historian guiding us around, so we got our places right, and I was rather embarrassed to say, gee, I see the battle in my mind. This was before my other, and I just thought it was my imagination acting up at the time because I knew what happened, mm-hmm, there. Now I've since had that happen where I didn't know what happened, and when I follow up, I find out that is indeed what happened, so.
So cool. There's a historic battlefield probably, 20 miles up the road?
Oh, in Monroe?
Yeah.
Oh, the River,
yeah, the War of
1812. I've,
yeah,
been there.
Oh, you, yes, have?
Yeah,
okay, I was going to say, if you haven't been there, it's really close. You need to go. But incredible place.
Yes.
Incredible amount of death in a very, very short amount, yeah, of time.
And I know the wounded Americans were massacred.
Yes.
Yeah.
After that battle.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting and kind of, you know, any battlefield has that feeling of, and I can't think of the word right now, but it's sacred.
Oh,
sacred feeling to it. Like, you know, you've been to Gettysburg many times. Does it call to you? Like, I need to go there again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it draws you in.
It's amazing because I've been fascinated with Gettysburg since I was a young child. And most particularly, I was fascinated with the Little Round Top fight with mm-hmm. the 20th Maine. Always focused on the Union side, and I think my Confederate ancestors convinced me otherwise. but yes, I never went there until my honeymoon, and my wife chose that spot. She's also interested in history, knew I wanted to be there. She wanted to share that, and we've been back on anniversaries mm-hmm. and just to travel there on our own too.
That's
so
interesting. It's always great, you know, when you have a partner that loves what you love, right?
Yes.
It makes it so much more special. But tell everybody where we can get your book or how we can get a hold, or they could, our listeners can get a hold of you.
You can reach me quite easily. If you're interested in the paranormal books, www.imetaghost.com is the website. You can reach me through there. And also I have on a website for my overall history and paranormal books at fadedbanner.com.
Oh, okay.
And my email's don@fadedbanner.com.
Well,
but the book's widely available at mm-hmm. both websites. You can order them, and you know, basically anywhere you can get books, if it's not in stock, you can order it.
Or come out to a conference, you know, follow Don on his social media and come see him in person and get a book signed by the author.
I would be happy to do that.
That would be incredible. Well, we really appreciate you come back for year two. Hopefully we'll see you next year, God willing.
I plan to be here.
If not, we might see you in Gettysburg.
Certainly, if you're going to be there, let me know.
Yeah, I was going to say,
towards the end of summer,
we're
going to try to avoid a lot of the tourism.
Yeah.
But we'll let you know, and I'd love to meet you down there.
Sounds good. Yeah, I know I'll be there for the Battlefield Bash mm-hmm. at the end of July.
Okay.
They invited me to speak there and be a part of it, so I'm pretty excited about
that. Big time, Don. Allison, thank you so much for being on the show. Take care. Best of luck with the sales on the books, and you're welcome back anytime.
Great. Had a good time talking with you. Right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I like running into Don. He's such a nice person, and he's fascinating to listen to, and he always has a new book every year.
I know,
so that's great.
I can't even read, and he's writing books every week.
I know. Can imagine just having time to like read a book or write. I don't even know what that would be like because my life is so freaking chaotic right now. I'm ready to get off the treadmill. You know, no, I need to get on the treadmill.
You need to put the thing up in your yard.
It's been in the box for like, what, three months now. I've had
so if anybody wants to come over to Jen's house and set up her treadmill, her address is...
Don't mind the ghosts, which I saw something the other...
What?
Yeah, last night, morning.
Anything you want to talk about? Or
yeah, I'll just share with the listeners right now. So, you know, I always talk about the activity in my house and... It's been dormant for a while, but last night I saw a dark shadow go across in front of my feet.
Oh.
I was going from the bedroom to the kitchen to get a drink.
Yeah.
A water.
Midnight vodka.
I wish. Maybe I should start drinking again.
There you go.
I don't know.
Everybody needs
my
a hobby.
My life might be better. But it was weird. It was like went right in front of my feet. Like it almost like it was trying to get out of my way. You know what I mean? Like it was weird. And I was like, okay, maybe my eyes are playing tricks on me. I don't know. And then this morning I got up late as usual, hit the snooze like 57 times. And I looked in my other bedroom. So I have two bedrooms on the main floor. One is my bedroom and the other one I use is my closet, right?
The shoe closet.
There's like clothes and shoes, but it's getting organized.
And you're selling stuff on your Poshmark page. Or is it part? I always say that wrong.
Yeah, Poshmark.
Mark, okay.
Yeah. And I swear I saw David standing there for a brief second. Now, this is the second time. Okay, and I don't know if I told the listeners that my friend David, who was very special to me, I'll say it that way, passed away.
Yeah.
You know, I was always giving shout outs to him and
friends since high school.
Actually, after that, I met him when I was 21, and we dated for a couple of years, and then we broke up. You know how young love is, and then we reconnected 20 years later after we got divorced, and he found me on Match, and he's like, "Do you remember me?" I'm like, "Yeah, I remember you."
Duh.
And like, I never forgot him. He was memorable in my life, but you know, we didn't keep in touch or anything because he got married, and then when he got divorced, he looked me up, and then you know, we just rekindled our friendship, and I had gone to Florida and he'd come here, and we went back and forth, but we always stayed in contact. And then 3 years ago, he got cancer, and maybe it was 4 years ago. So 3-4 years ago, he got diagnosed with cancer at the base of his tongue and had a really rough time with it. And, you know, went through the chemo and made it through and was cancer free. And then like 6 weeks later, he found out he had cancer again.
Yeah.
And he had spots on his lungs. And then,
well, it's hard because it, you know, a lot of people think about cancer as a specific spot, but it goes in your bloodstream, and you know.
Yeah, and it spread to other places, and then, you know, it just didn't, you know.
Didn't work out.
He didn't make it, so. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I think I see him in my house.
Really?
Twice, like. Uh-huh. Not like I haven't received any messages or he hasn't come to me in my dreams, but I swore I saw him one time, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago. I was like, you know how you like take the covers and you just throw them off of you? And it just like for a flash, I swore I saw him standing there. And I was like, I didn't know if I was like just waking up and I was still dreaming or if it was really him. And then this morning I just saw him standing there and it was like not even a nanosecond, right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, did I imagine that I saw him or was he really? So I can't say for sure. I don't know if it was just my mind playing tricks on me or, you know, just
I've heard
me
that.
Wanting to see him so bad.
Yeah.
Or, you know, communicate and just know that he's okay.
But I've heard that before where people say that when loved ones pass and that there's like a certain amount of time where how long is, I'm trying to remember, but it's.
I thought it was a couple months.
That's what I thought. Like 45 days is the average to where you don't see someone and all of a sudden you see someone. So who knows, you know?
I don't know. I mean,
we won't know until we find out.
Right,
know?
Exactly. And so anyways, short story long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, still got this treadmill and if you're not afraid of ghosts and want to come put it together. Okay.
We're going to have a live treadmill reveal on the air.
It's hot pink.
So stay tuned for the Facebook Live
we'll keep you
reveal
updated.
Of Jen's treadmill finally put together party.
I probably keel over and die when I get on it for the first time. And then I'm going to come back and haunt this podcast. Damn it.
All right. So
anyways,
stay tuned next week. We got a great interview.
Ramble on.
Jeff Mudgett.
Jeff Mudgett.
No, he was great.
He was. Funny. He was amazing. He wrote a book about H.H. Holmes, America's Serial Killer.
Oh, that's right. He wasn't funny, was he? He was.
I thought he was funny. He was drinking beer. Like,
oh, that's
it was
right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, but anyways, you know, guys, stay tuned. We have a great show for you next week, and then the week after that, we have an amazing show. We won't tell you yet, but it's our biggest celebrity ever. So excited! Oh my god, you guys! And we'll just say something to do with that one show on that Travel Channel with that one. With those one guys.
With the hair.
With the hair.
And the other. Haunted. The other bro.
So that's just a little teaser, guys.
And if you have any suggestions for the show topics, don't, when I say suggestion for the show, don't send us those emails.
Yeah.
But
again,
if you have any ideas that you'd like to see us do or that, or if you want to be on the show yourself, send us a message and let us know a little bit about what you want to talk about and all that.
Yeah.
And if I think it's not show worthy, I'll just say on you. No,
no, we're nice to everybody. All right, guys, have a great week. We'll listen to you. We'll talk to you next. I can't even talk.
Yeah.
I can't even talk.
With that, we should go.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in.
Bye,
Dow.
Bye, listeners.
And
we
let's
love you.
Play a little war for Don Allison. This is The War Inside My Head. By Dead in 5. Goodbye, everyone.
This is the war inside my